It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, you know, if you've been listening to our show very long, you know that old Luke loves to cook outdoors. We always have a cooking segment on just about every show. I might be talking Dutch kettle cooking or whatever, cooking fish and game, just having fun cooking outdoors. That's what this segment's going to be about. We're going to talk about charcoal. More specifically, we're going to talk about what I think is the best charcoal you can get. It's B&B charcoal made in Texas. Now, Mr. Ed Riley is with B&B Charcoal, and I'll bet you when Ed gets through visiting with us, you're going to learn some things about charcoal briquettes, if you will, or lump charcoal that you didn't know. Ed, thank you, buddy, for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you, Luke, for inviting me on. It's certainly a privilege.
Folks, I visited with Ed quite a bit on the phone off the air, of course, and I've learned a ton of stuff already about cooking with wood smoke, things like that, things that we're not going to have time to get into in this little segment. But Ed, there are major differences in charcoal, types of brands of charcoal, if you will. One of the things that I have learned, and I already knew this, some of them use all kind of additives, right?
That's right. So a lot of charcoal manufacturing, I mean, the charcoal briquettes were started in the 1920s, or made popular in the 1920s by Henry Ford, and he wanted to find a way to use all the scrap left over from his automobile process. And so he took that scrap and he paired up with Thomas Edison, and they came up with a briquette manufacturing plant that involved using scrap wood. So the very initiation of charcoal briquettes were made from scrap. And they use a lot of different things in the normal processing of charcoal briquettes, what we do not use. Our charcoal briquettes are made from our charcoal lump. So there's two types, like charcoal 101. You want to talk about, you have lump charcoal and then you have charcoal briquettes. So our lump charcoal is a species specific, where we have oak, post oak lump charcoal. We have hickory lump charcoal. We have mesquite lump charcoal. We even have something called a chibacha wood, which it's easier for the chef to predict the flavor profiles if he has a consistent wood source, and that's what ours is. And then our briquettes are made from the smaller pieces that are too small for our hickory lump and our oak lump. We turn that into our So our oak lump is made into our oak briquettes, and we have something else called a char log, which is a hickory oak blend. But that's a more competitive cooking type of cylinder type of thing. But the briquettes that people are used to and they see on the shelves are 100% oak product with a little bit of cornstarch that binds them together, and that gives you that higher BTU and a predictable flavor.
Yes, sir, but no sodium nitrite and other chemicals added. Just
if you look online, and we won't mention any other briquettes by name, but if you look online, there's limestone, there's gravel, there's mica, sodium nitrates, there's all kinds of stuff put into the charcoal briquettes for a variety of reasons, to make them burn, to keep them ignited, do a variety of different things. But at the end of the day, that stuff, those small particulates, form the smoke that bathes your food.
Yep.
And if you don't want limestone and gravel type of stuff on your food, then I'd stick with the 100% product.
From
another thing too, when you have limestone and mica and those type of other fillers, when you get done, all that ash fills the bottom of your grill, and you'll see almost a 40% ash rate in some of my competitions. Charcoal briquettes, mine is 2% ash, meaning you burn, you know, half of that briquette is going to turn to clay, basically, in the bottom of your grill, where mine is going to stay a fluffy, what you would consider wood ash.
Ed, I did not know why, but using, especially with my Dutch kettles when I'm cooking with the B&B, I noticed that, but I didn't know the reason why, but now I know the reason why. Let's think about briquettes, I won't say opposed to lump charcoal. I've used them both, and I honestly do kind of like the lump sometimes on the Dutch kettles when I'm cooking with that. I don't know why.
They're different things.
Yeah,
I mean it's an either or. It's a preference, and I use them both. This past weekend, I used both briquettes. One thing you get about briquettes, are more predictable, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The one you don't get is higher heat. Your lump, you get higher heat. You can get up to 900 to 1,000 degrees with your lump. Briquettes are designed to run between 600 to 800 degrees, depending on how you stack them. So if you're wanting, and truthfully, a lot of people, just like probably with your, and if you're doing quail or chicken wings or something, yeah. You layer the flavors on there. A lot of times people layer the fuel. So they'll start with, let's say, an oak lump, and then they put maybe some briquettes or maybe some chunks or chips or something like that, so you have a variety of smoke flavors on your food. And heat profiles. Higher heat does different things to different meats than lower heat do. Obviously, you got your Texas brisket, you're not running high heat. You probably want to use the briquettes. Or if you've got like a long smoker or something like that, you know, you don't use as many lump pieces, or we also make a wood too, but that's for another show. But yeah, so different heat sources do different things depending on what you want to do. But yeah, higher heat with a lump, and then more predictable heat with the briquette.
Okay, yeah. The thing about the Dutch kettle, you know, there's a rule of thumb. I use mostly a number 10 Dutch kettle, and if with the B&B charcoal, you know, the rule of thumb is 3 over, so it'd be 13 on top briquettes, and then 3 less, which is 7, underneath. But that's not really, that's just a rule of thumb. It can be the ambient temperature outside is the key. Sometimes I just know if I'm cooking out and it's real cold in the wintertime, I know not to use 13. I'll go ahead and put 16 or more and more underneath. But I can control it. Like you said, it's the briquettes. I can control it a little bit better. I know what to expect with certain numbers of briquettes. And then, of course, sometimes I'll just use campfire embers. But there again, that is a shot in the dark, because especially for someone who hadn't done a lot of campfire cooking, you can get that Dutch kettle a little bit too hot sometimes doing that. You know?
Well, using those embers, they do get hotter than the briquette. So I think for the predictability and also for the ash content, you were mentioning earlier, if you only have a certain amount of lip on top, the more ash on top, the more chance of that getting into your food underneath. So
yep.
Using something with lower ash count, which you would have less ash with a briquette than you would with a lump. Because the lump, there's lots of air in there, so you need more lump. But also that air actually helps get the heat hotter, too, because that's part of the fuel ignition mixture. You need the air, of course, of the wood substance, too, to do it. But, yeah, cooking outside with either briquettes or lump, another thing, too, about cooking with lump is using something that you bring with you versus something that you find there. You don't know the moisture content, the heat content, and some of the other different variables that you have outside most of our lump is kiln drying at a certain temperature, so it's predictable. So you have a consistent source, so it's a consistent system that you'll use, whether, you know, like you use your 3-under, 3-over system, you'll be able to, reproduce that again and again. Mm-hmm. And in cooking, that makes a difference.
Oh, it does. It definitely does. Ed, most people listening to us are in Texas. There's folks listening online everywhere, I'm sure. But our audience is mostly in Texas. And, we Texans and many people that listen to this show, I would say the vast majority are hunters and fishermen. All of us love to cook outdoors. You know, it's just the part of B&B is from Texas. I mean, B&B charcoal is made in Texas and started here, didn't it? Really?
It's a second generation, exactly. Second generation Texas company. Started in 1961 by the Kiner family. They were German immigrants, so they're very efficient in their use of fuel, and I hinted at it earlier that our briquettes are made from our lump. All our products are substantially sourced, but we also reuse everything we can. Like again, our wood splits. We start with the wood splits, which those are the logs you can cook on outside.
Mm-hmm.
But we make our chunks from the extra logs, and we make our chips from the extra, from the extra stuff that doesn't make the chunks. And then we turn that around and make our pellets from what's left over from our chips. So you can see the German sensibility following through that, and being a second generation, the family's all in. So they love Texas. They love Texas cooking, and you can find B&B products a lot of different places in Texas. We talked about that earlier, and you probably admit, if you want, I can mention that now.
But well, that's okay, but they are widespread. And I tell you, I've learned a lot. I don't know, charcoal is just something that people, I hate to say it, but it's so easy to take for granted. Charcoal, let's get a bag of charcoal and grill or whatever. There's a lot that I've recently learned about charcoal, and on the website, you know, the B&B Charcoal, the website is a good place, I think, for people to go to learn more about the charcoal, you know?
Well, I appreciate you helping us tell our story, but just like with hunting equipment or even cooking equipment, there's if you know why something's different, it can improve your game. I mean, there's lots of hunting equipment out there, but having the right piece of the right tool makes your job easier. B&B does make our product differently, and that makes all the difference in the food you cook. It's safer because it doesn't have those chemicals in it. It doesn't have things that you would, you know, if you actually knew about, you're like, well, maybe that's not the safest thing to put on my food, because the smoke from your charcoal is in your food.
Yes.
It affects the taste of your food.
And that's the thing that's cool, the different, you know, types of wood, like mesquite. If you don't watch out, or if you don't know what you're doing and you're cooking with mesquite logs, let's or stick, you know, just say you've cut a bunch of mesquite, you better make sure that mesquite is dry. You better make sure it's really dry, or you will impart a bitter flavor.
A bitter taste, right?
But, yeah, well, and I guess with any of them, but especially mesquite. But you actually, we'll get into this later at another time.
Yeah, I'd love to do a wood cooking.
Wood
show
cooking, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But you,
fire.
Build a fire, and we were talking off the air. I've got an expanded metal grill that's boxed in with Haydite blocks. It's probably 30 inches wide, maybe a little bit wider, and dang near 4 foot long. And some of these, I call them sticks, you know. Of different woods, that would be interesting to say you want to grill or just cook barbecue, if you will, some half chicken breast, half chickens, just cut the whole chicken in half. Wouldn't that be a good way to do it using those?
I'd like to sit around that fire pit with you and discuss this while we cook.
That'd I think fun. We need to work that into the plan. Have a little place out back, a little cabin. Most of our listeners, and I talk about it quite often, I do have a cooking pit out there, and you'd think you were in the backwoods somewhere, but truthfully, you're going to be about 25 miles from Dallas when you're there. Ed, we only have another minute or so to visit. I've sure enjoyed being with you, and I bet our guests have learned a thing or two about charcoal, something that's so easy to take for granted.
It is.
Yeah. How about
because a lot of the big guys, they don't want to tell you about the distinctive nuances between the different flavors, but ours is species specific. If you want hickory, we sell hickory. We don't sell a hardwood blend because you never know what that blend is going to be. And every time those woods intermix together, that's going to put a different taste profile on your food. So having a species-specific blend, a bag of charcoal is going to help your listeners and the end result when they want a predictable, you know, when they finally hit that right recipe, this is perfect.
They want to do it again and repeat
they
it.
They want to do it again.
They? Well, how about leaving the website, if you would, Ed?
It's simple. It's bnbcharcoal.com. You can go on there. You can find lots of information. We don't sell our charcoal online. It's just crazy to ship it. So, you know, you'll be able to find places to buy, especially in Texas. And if you're outside of Texas, there's, you know, we have a few national distributors. We're not, you know, being Texas Central, it's hard to. Texas is the epicenter of barbecue right now, so we're growing.
It is. So just B and B, right?
Charcoal? No, you can leave that and out. So bbcharcoal.com.
Okay. Ed, we are out of time, buddy. I look forward to getting some more tips from you and sharing it with our listeners and my readers, too, that reads my newspaper columns and some of the magazines. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure, Luke.
Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smoke In Tex Electric Smokers, Sitemark, Texas-raised hunting products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, The Best of Texas Barbecue Sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.